The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive. And make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans. And muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the Almighty Allah, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And for today, we're going to speak about paradise in the view of Islam. So I invite you to be with us. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Thursday, is the 15th of Rabiul Thani, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 19th of Aban, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of November, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Salam and peace to these verses of the Holy Quran. Chapter Al-Waqi'a, verses 17 to 21.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Yatoofu alayhim wildanum mukhalladun.
There will circulate among them young boys made eternal.
بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَّعِينٍ.
With vessels, pitchers, and a cup of wine from a flowing spring.
لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنزِفُونَ.
No headache will they have therefrom, nor will they be intoxicated.
وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِّمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ.
And fruit of what they select.
وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِّمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ.
And the meat of fowl from whatever they desire.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
That the people of paradise reclining on those magnificent thrones are in a safe place, around whom boys and youth of fair face and good character, possessing utmost beauty, move. They were originally created in paradise and are immortal. They serve the people of paradise with jugs and glasses with or without handle, namely all kinds of vessels. The people of paradise drink from bowls filled with the wine of paradise and pure water, which may allude to the water of springs flowing in paradise. Such wine causes neither headache nor intoxication.
Is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Paradise in the view of Islam. That is the title of this part. Paradise is the dwelling place for the obedient believers of Allah in the hereafter. Indeed, Allah has described for us life in paradise by saying, surely the paradise which He created for His obedient servants is as wide as the width of the heavens and the earth. In it there will be trees and fruits, of which their abundance will not be curtailed. Springs flowing with delicious liquids such as nectar and ginger, rivers flowing with pure sweet water, honey and milk, different kinds of food and meats which mankind likes and enjoys. There will exist everything which the believers desire, including beautiful sights and views that are comforting to the hearts. Their dwellings will be beautiful, great palaces and elegant mansions, furnished with exquisite carpet with various decorations.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is your host Ali and we are with you with another topic. Today, inshallah, we are going to talk about heaven and the abiders of heaven, Al-Jannah. Alam Majlisi and one of his students, that is Sayyidina Ni'matullah Al-Jazairi, have appealed to a hadith from Imam Radha alayhi salam to show that the states of the afterlife should be measured with those of the world, with those of this world. They maintain that this doctrine implies the corporeality of the heaven. In response to a question by Imran al-Sabi and as an argument for the invisibility of God for human beings in the heaven, Imam Radha alayhi salam said that one can argue for what happens in the heaven only by what happens in this world. According to the interpretation of Allama al-Jlisi and his student Sayyid al-Jazairi, this implies the principle that the states of the afterlife should be measured with those of this world. So let's not actually dive into this theological arguments that is quite a lengthy discussion, but just let's refer to one of these discussion, and inshallah we shall skip this discussion to go and listen and talk about the characteristics of the abiders and residents of the heaven.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Pleasures of paradise, free from all impurities. From among the pleasures of paradise, we can name being free from all impurities. Paradise is free from all impurities of this world. Eating and drinking in this life results in the need for exertion and its associated unpleasant odors. If a person drinks wine in this world, he loses his mind. Women in this world menstruate and give birth, which are sources of pain and hurt. Paradise is free from all of these discomforts. Its people will not suffer. The water of paradise does not become brackish and its milk never changes in flavor. The prophet answered the person when they asked how the people of paradise will relieve themselves. They relieve themselves by perspiring through their skins, and its fragrance will be that of musk, and all stomachs will have become lean. One lesson for achieving paradise is recognizing your blessings. Realize all the blessings Allah is giving you right now, even one glass of water. Increase in saying Alhamdulillah. The dwellers of hell will call out to the dwellers of paradise, throw down some water to us or some of what Allah has provided you with. They will say Allah has forbidden them to the disbelievers. Quran chapter 7, verse 50.
So the ni'am of Al-Jannah, the Quran says, أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ. It is hidden from us because the mind cannot understand it. It is beyond our comprehension. This is how great Al-Jannah is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, He tries to give us few glimpses of Al-Jannah. It is beyond our imagination, but still we have a plethora of verses and ahadith where Allah and the Messenger of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim wasalam, they try to give us an incomplete understanding of Jannah. A small glimpse, a small sense of Jannah, so we can be enticed, so we can be encouraged to seek Al-Jannah. And usually our ulama, they divide the ni'am, the beauties of Jannah, into two parts. The sensual pleasures, meaning the materialistic pleasures of Jannah, al-ni'amul madiyah, and then al-ni'amul ma'nawiyah, the spiritual pleasures of Al-Jannah. The Quran tells us two general laws and rules about the ni'am of Al-Jannah. The first law of Al-Jannah, memorize it. The Holy Quran says about Jannah, when many people used to ask the Holy Prophet, what do we have in Jannah? I want this, I want that, I crave this, I crave that. Allah Azza wa Jal gave us a general law and rule of Al-Jannah. The Quran tells us about Jannah, فيه أو فيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين. Everything that your heart desires, everything that you crave, you will find it in Jannah. So you don't even have to ask me what's in Jannah. Just want it, just think about it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you want. Maybe someone here in the Quran, and I'll speak about this in a few nights, Allah doesn't mention the new pleasures of Jannah. For example, a young person may come and tell me, can I have a Lamborghini in Jannah? Or better yet, can I have, for example, a Bugatti in Jannah? The Quran says, مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسُ وَتَلَذُّ الْعَيْنُ. If you crave it, if you want it, you'll have it. Maybe I want to be a mermaid that swims in the oceans and the rivers of Jannah. Can I have that? Yes, maybe I want to be SpongeBob and live like him in the ocean. Whatever you want in Jannah, even if it's silly, even if it's wild, it's crazy, you can have it.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and here is a thought-stimulating saying from the Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace upon him. The heart of an ignorant is his mouth, and the mouth of a wise person is in his heart.
Thank you. Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we would like to recite a beautiful hadith which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reason why sometimes our prayers, our du'as are delayed, meaning the response to the dua, the fulfillment of the prayer is sometimes delayed. We don't get the thing that we want, you know, immediately. Sometimes it takes a long time. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "A delay in response should not dishearten you. For verily, the grant from Allah is proportional to the sincerity of your intention. And maybe the response has been delayed in order for it to be a greater reward for the one who has asked, and a greater bestowal for the hopeful one." So maybe the person who was praying, he had a great intention, a good niyat, a sincere intention when requesting something from God. And because of that, God wanted to grant him a great reward, so he delays. And maybe, you know, granting him that reward is not possible at that time, so he delays it. God delays fulfilling this person's request. In continuation, the Imam says, "Or maybe you asked for something and it was not given to you, and instead you are to be granted something better sooner or later." The Imam here alludes to another reason. You know, maybe God wants to give you something better, and maybe that thing that he wants to give you better, which is better than what you requested, is not feasible at that time. It's not opportune at that time, so Allah decides to give it to you later. And then the Imam says, or he mentions another possibility here. He says that, or it may have been kept away from you for your own good. Maybe giving it to that person at that time immediately was not in the best interest of that person. The Imam finally says, for many, a matter that you ask for would be detrimental to your religion and faith if it were given to you. If the person was given what he requested for immediately, perhaps it could have been good for his dunya, his worldly affairs, but it might have been bad for his akhirat, for his hereafter, for his felicity in the hereafter. And therefore Allah, he kind of delays it. So here, all in all, the Imam mentions a couple of reasons for the delay in the requests of a person's prayer. It could be because the person is Allah wants to give that person a greater reward. So he delays it because it's not possible to give it to him immediately. It could be because Allah wants to give him something better than what he asked for, and that something better can only be given later. Or maybe it could be because giving it to the person immediately, that was something bad for his religion. Is better for God to give it to him later. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reasons for the delayed responses in the requests of prayers. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we have again, alhamdulillah, some of the students of Sevier International School with us in this session. And before we start the class, let me say hello to each of them. Salam, Hussein Ruhullah, and how are you?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Salam, salam.
I'm fine, how are you?
Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Welcome. And Hassan Nasrullah, how are you doing?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
I'm fine, sir.
Okay.
How are you?
That's great. Thank you so much. Welcome. So, respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we really recommend you stay with us till the end of the session. Inshallah, you will benefit and we all will benefit from the verses of the Quran Kareem. So, today, inshallah, Hassan and Hussein and respected brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, we will be, inshallah, working on Ayah 56 and Ayah 57 of Surah Al-Baqarah. And before we start, let's listen to these two verses once. Thank you so much. That was a nice recitation. I loved it. How about you?
Yes.
That was nice, yeah. Okay. Now I will be, inshallah, reading. Make sure you repeat and you listen and repeat, okay? Brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, I really recommend you grab your Quran, go to Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 56 and 57, practice with us. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ثم بعثناكم من بعد موتكم لعلكم تشكرون
ثم بعثناكم من بعد موتكم لعلكم تشكرون
وظللنا عليكم الغمام وأنزلنا عليكم المن والسلوى
وظللنا عليكم الغمام وأنزلنا عليكم المن والسلوى
كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم
كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم
وما ظلمونا ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون
وما ظلمونا ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون
أحسنتم أحسنتم Thank you so much. Allah bless you, inshallah. So, ثم بعثناكم من بعد موتكم لعلكم تشكرون One question. We die, right? One day. Everyone experiences death. كله نفسٍ ذائقة الموت Yes, everyone will experience that. So, is it possible for God to create us again? Like, we believe, like, when we die in the Day of Judgment, we'll get back, we'll be given life again, yes?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
How is it possible, man? We die. When we die, okay, we go down the earth and we'll be kind of, everything will be gone. There is no bone, there is no, like, meat, nothing, no muscles. How is it possible to come back to life again, to be resurrected?
Our souls will come back.
Oh, you mean the souls? But is it possible, like, yeah, there are many kind of interpretations about, like, will we, like, we will be resurrected by our soul only, or no, with our body and soul together. There are many things that has a long discussion, okay? We'll not enter this discussion. But the, like, resurrection itself, the coming back to life itself, is it possible?
Yes, sir. Yes. God made us one time.
Ah, he can make Allah many. Almighty made us one time. In the Quran, we have, okay, that says, who creates these, for example, bones? Who gives life, okay, to these bones once again? I forgot the complete story. It's this way. And then the Prophet answers, okay, أن شاءها الذي أول مرة He, the one who has made it the first time, he will give it life again.
Yes.
Okay. It's very simple to believe in resurrection. You know, when someone creates a laptop, when someone makes a laptop, okay, designs a laptop, for example, designs a mobile phone, okay, so he creates it, okay, he makes it. And is it difficult for him to create one more like that?
No,
it's very easy because he has the format, the design, he has the template, he has everything is ready, and it's going to be very much easy. Now you see every year they are releasing, okay, new versions of iPhone and Samsung, yeah, everything. So it's going to be easy. So there is no question. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاكُمْ Allah Almighty says, when they were hit by a thunderbolt, yes? The people of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, yeah?
Yes.
They died. And بَعَثْنَاكُمْ We gave you life back again, okay? We raised you up again. min ba'di mawtikum, after you were dead, la'allakum tashkurun, so that you become thankful to us. There are a lot of things that sometimes we will be punished by Allah Almighty, but we have to be very much careful, okay, that it's because of maybe something we have done wrong, and after being punished, we have to be thankful to Allah Almighty. Not like, for example, ask Allah, say to Allah Almighty, oh Allah, why did you do that? Why did you punish me? Oh, no, these things. No, excuse Allah Almighty. Ask for forgiveness and even give thanks. Thank you so much, Allah Almighty. So, for the explanations, I really want you to refer to the Tafasir book, okay, because we don't have much time to explain. And I want you, inshallah, to get more knowledge about these verses from the interpretations or tafasir books. يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now let's pay attention to the tajweed rules. Brother Hassan, ثم بعثناكم, two letter fa, they have to be pronounced
fa.
Tha, correctly, yes?
Yes.
The way we say tha. Bite your tongue a little. Tha.
Tha.
Ba'athnaakum. Thumma itself. Mim mushaddad. Idgham mithlain, right? Thumma. Ba'athnaakum. Kum. Mim sakin plus mim. Hassan, Hussein, what rule is applied?
Merge.
Merge, yeah. Idgham. You apply idgham. Kum, yeah. بعثناكم
مم
this sound with غنة إدغام مثلين and with a غنة sound. ثم بعثناكم منكم, right, this nasal sound.
Yes.
And then مين نون ساكين plus با. When we have ميم ساكين plus با, we apply the rule إخفى. But when we have نون ساكين plus با, what rule is applied?
Qalb.
Qalb or iqlab. Not the heart that you have, okay? No surgery, okay? Apply the rule of iqlab. It means change that noon sound to a kind of half meme sound, right?
Yes.
Make sure like your lips go on each other, and there should be a little space for like a piece of paper, okay? But that little space. Mew, mew. Noon is changed to a half meme sound. Right? And also, you can remember this. If there is a noon sakin, sometimes or always, there is a baby meme on the top. This meme, okay? You see, this shape meme. Okay? Not the one which is stretched to the left side. Okay? The one which is stretched to down, okay? Meme this way, you look. So, you see that. That is the sign of applying the rule iqlab. Changing noon to meme sound. Min ba'di mawtikum la'allakum tashkurun. And we said that if you stop at the end of ayat, you have to prolong this sound, okay? And this is called mad al-aridhi
lissukun.
Tashkurun. Right?
Yes.
Next ayah, وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. The pronunciation of the letter ظَا and غَيْن, heavy letters. وَظَلَّلْنَا. Do not say وَظَلَّلْنَا. ظَل, no, ظَا, no, ظَا. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. Not غَمَامَ. غَمَامَ, right? عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ. الْغَمَامَ starts with a hamzatul wasl. So here, Hamzatul Wasl is skipped, yeah?
Yes.
Skipping case of Hamzatul Wasl. وَظَلَّلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْغَمَامَ وَأَنزَلْنَا نُن ساكين plus za. It's yes. The rest of the letters. What rule is applied?
إِخْفَى.
إِخْفَى. Merge, hide, change, no rule. Which one?
Hide.
Four options. Hide, yes?
Yes.
Hide. وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَنَّ Wassalwa. Manna wassalwa. Man wassalwa, the names of two meals, okay? Kulu min tayyibat. Kulu is a command. Okay? Eat. It says eat. Min tayyibat. Nun sakin plus ta.
Yes.
What rule
min
is
it? Min tayyibat. It is izhar.
Izhar. Why is it izhar? While ta is from the rest of the letters, not from izhar letters.
So
not,
it's ikhfa.
Ikhfa. But a kind of ikhfa with heavy letter.
Yes.
Yeah. Min tayyibati. Would you say this, Hassan? Hussein?
Min tayyibat.
Ahsan, ahsan. Tayyibati. Ma razaqnakum. Qaf. Sakin Hassan. It's from Qutwijat letters, right? What rule is applied here?
Qalqala.
Qalqala, bouncing sound. Razaqnakum. Kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. Wama zalamuna walakin kanu lakin nun sakin plus kaf. Again?
Again, ikhfa.
Ikhfa, hiding. Okay? But hiding with kaf. Walakin kanu. As if the kaf sound is very much clear, yes?
Yes.
Walakin kanu anfusahum nun sakin plus seen. What rule is applied here? Again.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. Anfusahum yadlimun. Alhamdulillah. We learned. So, if you have any question. No questions?
No.
No.
Okay. That was all from us for today. Make sure you practice, inshallah, the recitation, the tajweed rules, and also for more explanation of kind of interpretations, okay, refer to the Tafasir book. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. We will be here with you, inshallah, in the coming sessions. Stay with us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhide kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. This is The Teacher, an introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite scholars and ulama all across the world. I'm Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Shaykh Mahdavi and Shaykh Ziyaniya. Shaykh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding Shiite figure, a mujtahid, a shaheed. We can say a person who was martyred. He was an alim and he was martyred. He is known of Shaheed al-Mihrab, a person who, after doing Jummah prayer, he was assassinated at the early Islamic Revolution of Iran, Sayyid Abdul Hussein Dastgheib Shirazi. So let's be more familiar with him this time from your time, Sheikh Mahdavi. Give us some information about the early life and the education of Sayyid Abdul Hussein Dastgheib Shirazi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Abdul Hussein Dastgheib Shirazi, as we see the title Dastgheib, it's a very big family and tribe in Shiraz belonging to Husseini Sadat. Mm-hmm. They are still the generation, I mean, from Ayatollah Dastgheib and Dastgheib family. They are there in Shiraz, living over there. But Ayatollah Abdul Hussein Dastgheib, he is born in 1332, according to lunar calendar, of if we wanted to give it in Gregorian calendar, 1913, in a religious family in Shiraz. He's mainly known for his akhlaq and morality gathering or morality lessons that he was giving.
Yes.
Both before and after the Inqilab. Still, when you go to Shiraz, you talk to the old people, both sides, I mean from the old people, men and women, they are remembering his lively akhlaqi lessons that even in the Salat al-Jum'ah, he was actually taking advantage of this lessons in order to inspire spirituality and religion in the mind of the people. So still people are taking his memory from...
He was a professional lecturer too.
Yeah, for
His
sure.
Audios are available nowadays.
Yes, for sure. Okay. And that's why we see one of the most important work and famous work of him is known of Greater Scenes.
Yes.
Which is mainly focused on morality and actually ethics.
Yes.
When we look at his biography and his type of friends and education, we can see that he was based on the recommendation of Ayatollah Qadi in Najaf. I mean, the famous Qadi, who is the teacher of Ayatollah Allama Tabatabai. Based on his recommendation, he got friend to Ayatollah Nejabat. So Ayatollah Nejabat also, Ayatollah Nejabat, is one of the great and outstanding mystics in Shiraz. Even till now, his grave being actually visited by the people because of his significance in the field of mysticism and Irfan. So Ayatollah Nejabat also was one of his close friend. That's why we see this part of morality is more highlighted and developed in the personality of Ayatollah Dastgheib.
Okay, Shaykh Ziyaniya, what about his scholar life? His teachers, some of his most outstanding works, and his main studies?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Ayatollah Dastgheib started his Islamic studies in Shiraz.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it is important to know that when he was 20, he started preaching beside, studying in Shiraz. And he was the imam of a mosque that was in the district or the part of Bazar Morgh in Shiraz. And... because at that time, there was a dictator in Iran whose name was Reza Shah.
Mm-hmm.
And that dictator would not allow clergymen or scholars to wear this uniform, this special uniform, freely and easily. there were put some pressure on Ayatollah Dastgheib, and he took some exams and tests and went through these tests, and he was successful, so he was allowed to wear this uniform.
Yes.
But again, after some years, because his lectures was against the corruption at that time in the society, again he was forced to leave Iran, and he went to Iraq.
Yes.
And then in Najaf, he was the student of late Ayatollah Sayyid Abu al-Hassan Isfahani, the great marja of Shiites at that time. And after the death of Reza Shah, he came back again to Iran and restarted his activities, yes, including social activities, preaching, and trying to widespread the word of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam in the society.
Okay.
Beside all these, we should know that politically he was also active, and he could not bear the oppression and the darkness at the society at that time.
Yes.
And because he was living in Shiraz, and Shiraz was the place in which there were some, you know, meetings and events held in the previous in those times in Shiraz, that these events were full of corruption. So Ayatollah Dastgheib stood against these problems and tried to put light in the mind of people to understand the darkness and the satanic temptations that were put in their lives to, you know, distract youths and people from their aim and from their main goal that they should follow in their lives.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And maybe one of the reasons to compile such a book, I mean, Greater Sins, Gunahane Kabira, was this. So many of the foreign students of Islam, Shiite Islam in Iran, when they get to the houses, are familiar with Shahid Dastgheib through this book. Why is it so? I mean, why so much interest in such a book? What does this book show us?
I think one of the thing that might come or might be interesting or amazing for the readers is that through this book you can get familiar with the nature of the sins and the punishment. I mean that the doer will be receiving by the day of judgment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even in this world, because some sort of the punishment, as it is mentioned in the book, are not going to be postponed for the day of judgment, even in this life, due to or through some sort of suffering, diseases, poverty, people might be going or undertaking some of the actually punishments in this way. So it is really amazing or interesting to know, okay, if that sin is regarded as a greater sin or grave sin, how it has been dealt with in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt. How it has been dealt with in the verses of Quran. Why? Because when we believe that all of these topics or all of these titles had been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we want to see how Allah is describing the nature of that sin, effects and consequences that the doer or the practitioner might undertake if he commits the sin, not from my tongue, from the sayings, I mean the direct sayings and explanation of Ahlul Bayt, who are the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
That's why it might be of the interest of the reader, specifically those who are new to this religion.
That's right.
So sometimes I might ask them, okay, come to me, I'm going to explain for you what is the nature of adultery.
Yes.
And what are the consequences for those who have committed it?
Mm-hmm.
And what type of the repentance they have to do? So these are from my sayings and my word, but I will tell them in another, for another option, let's read the riwayat, sayings of imams, verses of Quran, to all know about all of these information you are looking for. That's why it's going to be of their interest, because they might create this direct, immediate relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see how it might look in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the interesting point is that in that book, he tackles the social problems too. I mean, the problems that are related to the family, to the children, even parents, wives, you know, even orphans, okay? For example, how usurping the rights of the orphans will be chastised. Also talking about so many outstanding problems of today's world, the modern world, for example, usury. What is usury and how usury is going to make a problem, or drinking liquor and alcohol, you know, and gambling also. You know, the case is that I think that one of the reasons that the foreign students are interested in that book is that because in the Western world, so many of the problems that are tackled by Shahid Asghib are seen practically in the society, okay? So when referring to the religion of Islam, Ahadith, and the Quran to solve such a social problem will be interesting. Very much for them. Okay, anything else, Sheikh Ziyania, regarding greater sins and his works?
So in this book, Greater Sins or Deadly Sins, Marhum Ayatollah Das Ghaib is discussing about 50 greater sins.
Yes.
That it's started from shirk and goes to, as you mentioned, fornication, drinking alcohol, gambling, disrespecting towards parents and cutting ties with the relatives, up to the greater sins that are not mentioned maybe in our riwayat and ayat. So from these to even disrespecting to the holy books or disrespecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things also mentioned. In a sentence, we may say that this book is talking about the problems that a society may, you know, be infected with, and this book is trying to secure society from these diseases. I mean, diseases that are related to the soul of human being. Maybe materialistically, if we want to discuss, this society is healthy and is, you know, having a very well situation. But if these problems are in a society, of course, we should notice that this book was written in Iran about less than 60 years ago. So at that time, these problems were frequent in Iran also. So every society that is having these problems is ill and needs to go through treatment and to get these issues, you know, eliminated from the surface of society. So this book is a, is helpful in this approach. And we should know that...
Example, if you do not, for example... abide by your promise, or for example, you give a false testimony, or for example, you lie. Okay, what are the chastisement? Or it's better to say, beside chastisement, which is a divine action, he mostly talks about the worldly disadvantages of such greater sins. What are the negative effects of such sins on the life of the human beings? This is good, I think. This is a nice practical book who wants to at least correct themselves in the lifestyle.
So all these are the reasons that people are attracted to this book and try to study this book.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ziyania and Sheikh Mahtavi. As I said, we can say 13